You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is home to roughly 4,700 dams. And since 2008, there have been 14 dams that have failed, with a spike in 2018 due to severe storms and flooding. Do you live near a dam? Do you know what condition it's in? Has your community been working with engineers to maintain dams in your area? Perhaps you're a dam owner. What should we know about them? You have a line, 800-642-1234. Tanya Lorigan is a dam safety engineer for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and she helps oversee responsibilities of the dam safety program, which includes dam inspections, emergency response assistance, and regulatory matters related to the design, construction, and safety of dams here in Wisconsin. Tanya, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So what does your work look like as a safety engineer really focused on dams?
We have a variety of requirements that we oversee with the Department Dam Safety Program. We are responsible for inspections of the dams and ensuring that owners are inspecting their dams. When dams are in need of repair, we review those plans and specifications that are submitted to us. And we're also involved with dam transfer, of dam ownership, as well as removal of dams. We provide technical assistance to owners if there's some type of emergency response or incident at a dam. So we have a lot of regulatory authority related to those aspects of the dams. And the idea behind that is really that our main goal is to protect life, health, and property. So a lot of those requirements are in place to support protecting life, health, and property for residents in Wisconsin.
Well, give us sort of a lay of the land here for our dams. There are around 4,700 in the state, but just 920 are large dams that are managed by the DNR. How do the rest get managed?
Well, actually, of those 4,700 dams, a large percentage of those, not just the 920, are regulated by the DNR. We have them broken into two types of categories. There's small dams and large dams, and 920 are large dams, and that category is based on the height of the dam and the amount of water, the volume of the water that it impounds. So the large dams, given that they likely have a higher risk downstream, there's additional design requirements, inspection requirements that are involved with those dams.
So those dams would get more attention than a smaller dam.
Exactly. But they're all regulated. But those larger dams have more requirements. There's three different types of categories with those large dams. There's high, significant, and low. There's about 200 high-hazard dams in Wisconsin, 150 significant, and the remaining of those are low. And what a high-hazard dam, that doesn't mean that it's high-hazard, that it's imminent failures is likely. What it means is that should the dam fail, there's a possibility of or probability of loss of life downstream. Significant hazard dams, again, it's looking at the risk downstream, that there's a possibility of property damage, and low hazard dams, it would be that loss of life or property damage is relatively unlikely.
Some of these dams also produce hydroelectricity. How is the oversight there?
So hydroelectric power, there's about probably over 120 large dams that produce hydroelectricity, and those are actually regulated by the federal government, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So in those situations, the state does not have regulatory authority over those. We may be involved in terms of involvement in terms of environmental resource impacts, but the inspection, maintenance, repairs, that's done by FERC.
FERC meaning the
Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there are some dams that are not even on water. What would be those examples?
So there's some, if they're not on a water course, the state does not have regulatory authority over those. Those could be liquid substances other than water. So for example, a manure pit that's not on a water course. Those associated with cranberry operations, those are other ones that the state does not regulate.
And then 3 in every 5 dams in our state are owned by a company or an individual. How does dam ownership impact their management and upkeep?
Well, private owners are responsible for, they have the same types of requirements as a municipality. Really, they have those same responsibilities. It's just that there's a large percentage of them. Oftentimes, they're the smaller dams, and those kinds of uses could be for watering cattle, wildlife habitat, aesthetics. So they just tend to be the smaller ones kind of in the rural areas as opposed to the larger dams where you have a lot of recreation uses right in the heart of a community.
And are those private dam owners, are they expected to submit reports, submit inspection reports,
yep. mm-hmm.
things
same,
like that?
Same requirements.
Same protocols.
Yep, same requirements. Yep. It's you can have a private owner that has a small dam. You can have a private owner that has a large dam.
When you talk about a dam that's in a high hazard category, because there could be loss of life mm-hmm. if that dam would burst or overtop, something like that, are you seeing those situations here in Wisconsin where we should be taking extra precautions because dams are aging?
Dams are aging, and we do have a lot of precautions that are already in place with the regulations, and we ensure, again, to protect life, health, and property, that they're being managed and operated in compliance with those requirements. So, for example, all of the large dams, regardless of whether it's large, significant, or high, they need to do what's called a dam failure analysis. And what that analysis is that it actually looks at what happens when the dam fails. Where's the water going to go? How high is it going to get? And how long does it take to get to those locations downstream? So all those large dams are required to have that. And in Wisconsin, we actually require that dam failure floodplain map gets adopted into the local community's floodplain zoning ordinances to prevent future development in those areas. So we do have those precautions in place. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that we can do with a lot of these increased rainfall precipitation events is really ensure that those things are getting completed and implemented.
We're talking about the condition of dams around the state with the DNR's dam safety engineer, Tanya Lorigan. You can join in 800-642-1234. Has a dam ever breached in your community? When did it happen? Did that impact your home? How did it affect your community? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Now let's bring in Bob McKeel. He directs the Monroe County Land Conservation Department. And during an August 2018 rainstorm, 3 dams breached in his county and 3 more were damaged. He joins us from our studios in La Crosse this morning. Bob, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Tanya.
Bob, take us back to that early morning in August 2018 when you learned of the dam failures in your county. What was that like?
That's a very emotional moment in time. As far as it was actually August 27th that evening, we were receiving a lot of rain in Monroe County and specifically where I live. I could tell that the storms were lining up south and it was a constant rumble to the south. And didn't sleep a lot of that night because you have the responsibility of these large dams in your county as far as the operation and maintenance, and you're concerned about people's welfare and safety. Got to work that morning, listened to the radio about Coon Valley experiencing flooding, roads damaged and out, and right away I started thinking about the Coon Creek dams, and Monroe County has 7 in that watershed. And when I got to work, I noticed my phone had a message on it and took that message. And one of the landowners, farmers that operates around one of the structures, just plainly left a message, dam is gone.
Oh.
And so I called him back immediately, and I could tell in his voice, nervous, very worried about what happened in that situation. And he basically... all he knew was gone. There's no water behind the dam. Lots of damage. You need to check it out. And so I grabbed the NRCS civil tech engineer, and we headed out there immediately.
What did you see when you got there?
So getting there was a challenge since it was in Portland Township, and there was a lot of infrastructure damage on roads. We were finally able to navigate to that spot. We got to the town road where it enters into the private property, and we parked right there because everything was destroyed. And you walk down into the valley floor, and keep in mind the trout stream is on the opposite side of the valley floor. Immediately I see trout flopping in the mud on the opposite side. And I looked up the valley, and the farmer has a pumpkin patch. It's called Tucker's Pumpkin Patch. And everything he had there was erased. And I knew things were not looking good as we navigate up the valley floor, crossing the stream where we could in a couple places. It was probably 5-6 times wider than it normally should be. And as far as destruction, trees gone. And we finally get up towards the structure itself. And you could see boulders the size of vehicles laying everywhere below the dam. And you notice that the hillside that the dam abutted to was gone. And
it had reshaped the actual earth around it. How long had that dam been there?
Most of the dams are about 52 to 55 years they've been in existence. They were built in the late 50s, early 60s. So we actually got to the site, walked up the embankment, and the unique part is all the grass on the dam was laid down. And so right away you're thinking, what the heck happened here? And then when we got to the top of the structure, which is 35 to 40 feet higher than the valley floor, which is an earthen berm, and you start looking around and you could tell that the auxiliary spillway ran, and then the grass was knocked down where you're standing, so you knew that the dam's overtopped.
Talking with Bob McKeel, director of the Monroe County Land Conservation Department, and Tanya Lorigan is here. She is the DNR's dam safety engineer. Has your county dealt with breaches? Do you live near a dam? Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment. More conversation here on the Ideas Network. On a Friday, we're taking a close look at a really important piece of infrastructure in our state, and that is dams. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There are homes, there are businesses, farmland, entire communities that rely on dams to do their job. And according to data compiled by the Associated Press, Wisconsin has only 6 dams considered a risk to human safety that are in poor condition. But even so, 8 dams were washed out by record-setting rainfall in 2018. Do you own one? What kind of liability comes with that? How often must it be inspected? What emergency plan do you have in place in case it breaks? Are you a licensed engineer who inspects dams? What are you seeing out there? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us, WPR Mornings. The dams safety, the DNR safety engineer for dams, Tanya Lorigan, is here, and Bob McKeel is here. He directs the Monroe County Land Conservation Department. Tanya, rainstorms and weather events like Bob has described, they've certainly gotten more severe in the past decade. Are our state's dams able to handle these more intense, more frequent storms?
That is something that we are currently looking at. They do. High hazard dams are required to actually have the capacity to handle a 1,000-year flood event. Significant, required to have the capacity to meet a 500-year flood event, and low, 100-year flood event. So that is something that we are continuing to work with owners, that if they don't have adequate spillway capacity, that they get those repaired and upgraded so that they're meeting those requirements. But I do agree we are seeing those increased rainfalls with more intense storms. And so that is something that we're proactively, you know, we're really looking at that in terms of how can we be more proactive with that. As I was mentioning earlier, I think we do have a lot of requirements that are currently in place to try to have these dams stable and functioning during these types of events.
Bob, how did the state and federal local officials handle the fallout, handle the emergency in the immediate aftermath of the dam failures in your county?
The first and foremost is, you know, make sure everybody is safe and you can get the roads back open, whether it's a town or a county. You know, basically you have to help all the private citizens and what possible funding to do the repairs and provide assistance. So navigating through the FEMA, NRCS, DNR, county funds, what can we bring to the table to help and repair these structures was first and foremost as we moved forward.
What was the aftermath like? Did you rebuild these dams? What is it like there now?
So the immediate response is, okay, evaluate all the structures. So federal engineers, program managers basically flew in from different areas of the United States to take a look at this situation because it was very unique. And from that field trip report, you know, the recommendations came in. The three that were damaged and still functional, to repair them as soon as possible. And the three that breached was to stabilize the structure and remove debris so it doesn't cause a situation down the road if a flood event comes along. So in 2019, we were able to secure funds from NRCS to repair the three damaged ones and stabilize the three breached ones. And we just recently finished that.
Now, that's a long project. Tanya, when a dam fails, are they replaced? What options does a community have?
When a dam fails, the department issues what's called an administrative order to repair or abandon a dam. And the reason that we do that is so that we have time frames associated with that, so we just don't have these neglected structures on the landscape for years. So the owner then has an option to really investigate, do they want to repair the dam? Do they want to remove it? You know, the dam safety program, we want a safe dam, and that can be done through removing it or repairing it. And so when they do those, they look at doing those repairs and getting those back up to kind of the condition that it needs to be in if they do select repair.
How do you repair a dam?
There's a process in terms of looking at, they hire an engineer, a registered engineer in Wisconsin, and preparing those plans and specifications in terms of looking where it was damaged. Can you just do a partial repair for that one part that was damaged? Or is there a more major reconstruction that needs to be put in place? With that, you're looking at, like I mentioned earlier, the spillway capacity, making sure that you can pass those flood flows.
Talking with Tanya Lorigan, she is the Wisconsin DNR Dam Safety Engineer. Bob McKeel is here. He's Director of Monroe County Land Conservation. Still time for you. We're talking about the condition of dams in Wisconsin. What questions do you have about them? What do you want to know? We're at 800-642-1234. Brad called in to share that he lives in Cedarburg, where some community members want dams removed to help the trout. Tanya, when can removing a dam be an appropriate choice for a community? What goes into that decision?
There's a lot. In terms of the community, what do the residents in the community value? Do they value having that impoundment there in terms of boating or aesthetics? Do they value having a natural stream to allow fish passage and improve trout habitat? So a lot of it depends on, in terms of public interest, what would they like to see that stream or that impoundment be in their community? There's economics that also plays a really big factor in that, because dams, they're costly to maintain and to continue to operate. And so it's a matter of the funds. Does that owner have the ability to continue to do those repairs and in that operation? So those are two of the real key things that go into that decision-making process.
Bob, along with the three in your county, Monroe County, two dams also failed in Vernon County, and that county studied this event, came out with a report. What do you know about what led to those failures?
The two in Vernon County, it was the same event that destroyed the three in Monroe County, which were in the West Fork of the Kickapoo. Those were a little different, that the actual auxiliary spillway or emergency spillway down-cutted and eroded out, which led to their failure, versus the Monroe County structures. When the water was overtopping these structures, the principal pipe and the auxiliary spillway was running full, and water was actually concentrated on the opposite abutment, which doomed the structure by eroding the topsoil, reaching the sandstone, and basically melted away and led to the failure.
Monroe County has since developed this task force to look at climate change. What solutions is your county planning to implement? What is it coming up with?
So the first objective was to recognize climate change is happening. And second, we came up with 10 objectives or goals that the county wants to focus on. First and foremost, we identified that we need to do a better job of identifying where these isolated storms are happening, monitor precipitation, and warn the public as far as flooding goes. It just seems that the southern part of the county is really getting hammered. And this is a cumulative effect. This has been going on since 2007. I think we've had 17 to 18 different major storm events in the Driftless area, not necessarily Monroe County, but we need to do a better job of alerting the public. Second is we need to get the public out of the way if these big flood events are going to happen. So we have a floodplain. Nature reclaimed it, and we need to keep people out of there. We're just fortunate enough in 2018 nobody got killed.
Tanya, is the state prepared financially to respond to dam failures and to the damage that we see?
In terms of the dam itself, actually that responsibility in terms of taking care of that dam does fall on the owner. There's funds available after those incidents. Like Bob mentioned, you have Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, funds that may be available with those public incidents that occur. The DNR, we do have two grant programs, a municipal dam grant program, where municipalities that own dams can either apply for funds to repair or remove dams. And there's also a dam removal grant program that private owners can apply for. So there are some funds available for these types of incidents.
Well, Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Tanya Lorigan is a dam safety engineer for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And Bob, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.
Bob McKeel is the director of the Monroe County Land Conservation Department, and he joined us from our studios in La Crosse. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.